Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Seattle, Washington, March 30th, 2003, as we wrap up the three-part series of The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Tonight, we're going to discuss that final match and Stone Cold Steve Austin's final match, and I'm really excited to bring that analysis and audio to you guys. So what the hell are we waiting for? Let's get going.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready to talk Stone Cold? Are you ready to talk The Rock? I know I am. It's WrestleMania 19. We're going to Seattle, Washington. It's March 30th, the year 2003. We've got a lot to discuss today in terms of that match. Obviously, this is part three in my three-part series. If you haven't already listened to my other two parts, part one and part two, check them out. They're covering WrestleMania 15 and WrestleMania 17. And now WrestleMania 19 will close out this series for Wrestling Nostalgia. Next week will be a completely different topic. And I hope you guys have enjoyed Stone Cold and The Rock, because I don't think it gets much bigger than that. And this is a rivalry that is, I mean, it's the rivalry to end all rivalries. Why do I have such a problem saying that word? Say that word out loud. You know you're going to say it to yourself now. Rivalry. Say it fast. Good luck. So that is what we're talking about today. We're talking about The Rock. We're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin. We are talking about the match, the final match of the biggest star in the history of professional wrestling. It's not even an argument. And yeah, Stone Cold may not have burned the longest, but he burned the hottest. And he drew more money than anyone in the history of professional wrestling. He was a game changer, a needle mover. He spearheaded the WWE program ahead of WCW. He was the face of WWF at the time. And I think we often forget how big Stone Cold Steve Austin was and what he meant to the World Wrestling Federation, ultimately become WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I think that can't ever be lost on today's audience. I think we need to remember just how big it was. And the fact that this was not an advertised retirement match for Stone Cold Steve Austin made it that much harder, I think, to watch that match and not know it was his last match. As a fan, I didn't know. I mean, you didn't have back in 2003, you didn't have social media the way it was today. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Facebook. It was still the Facebook, right? You still had to be part of a school to be involved in it. Facebook at that point was a school focused social media platform. It was in its infancy. This was a time that preceded all of those things, and you had to rely on dirt sheets that circulated around the interwebs, and you had a couple of sites that you'd go to, but a lot of it was just clickbait. So that was something, at least in my recollection, I don't remember ever hearing or seeing that this could be Stone Cold's final match. Now, with that being said, I do remember hearing about reports that he was in the hospital the night before in Seattle, and that those claims were substantiated by Stone Cold himself in subsequent interviews that he did with Bite This and other videos that were produced by WWE. So obviously we have come to learn that that was indeed the case, and the main event of WrestleMania was actually in jeopardy. And we had Austin talk about that night, the night before, and so unbelievably, this match almost never even happened. So we're going to get into the build of this match. We're going to get into the promo and then, of course, the match itself. In one of my favorite nights of the week, that's your wrestling nostalgia night. And I'm super excited to get this going. And first, though, I want to kind of set the table, if you will, and let you guys know that you can find me anywhere that podcasts are available. And it really helps out the show as we creep closer to that top 10 list of wrestling podcasts on Apple Podcasts. Boy, we are scratching at the surface of it, kind of flirting with number 11, number 12. And yeah, numbers don't mean everything, but to say that you're in the top 10 wrestling podcasts in Apple is pretty damn cool. So thank you guys for doing that. I'm also going to be doing a lot more with my Facebook page. If you haven't already ventured over there, I may be starting to do some live video on there or Q&A or something like that. And I may even dedicate an entire show to answering your guys' questions. That is something I'm toying with. Not that I can produce an eighth show for the week, as we're already at seven, but I may do it as a part of a show that already exists, whether I attach it to the Monday Night Raw or whether I attach it to the Wrestling Nostalgia Show. I would like to give you guys a dedicated segment, maybe not an entire show, for answering your questions. And not even, they don't have to be questions. They can just be theories or your thoughts on the current product or what you see coming. And obviously, there's a lot coming with WrestleMania season. I didn't even bring up Bill Goldberg, who's coming to SmackDown this Friday, and what that could mean. Obviously, a WrestleMania setup, but with who? And honestly, does anyone really care at this point that Bill Goldberg's coming back? I mean, it's sad. I personally, I don't. He's a big name that was in the right place at the right time. He's got intensity. And that's kind of where it ends. Great father, great man, you know, built like a machine. But I never connected with the Goldberg character. It's very one-dimensional. So for him to be announced for SmackDown, I mean, I'm intrigued from a nostalgic standpoint, but not an emotional connection. Not an emotional one. It's just kind of there, and I'll watch. So just for what it's worth, I wanted to give my thoughts on that. I can't believe I missed that on my Raw review show. But nonetheless, guys, thank you once again for joining me. And you can check me out on Patreon if you'd like to get some video there that's not available anywhere else. And you can also get everything ad-free. If you don't like ads, that's your place. Patreon.com/WWE podcast. And also hit me up on the Twitter. Hit me up on the Twitter at the WWE podcast. I'm available there for your bereavement or your venting or whatever it may be. Maybe partially therapist. Whatever you guys need, I'll be on that on the Twitter, as the baby boomer generation likes to say. Everything is the right. Anyway, so guys, if you like this show, please again rate and review me, but also send questions to me. As I said, I'm really going to make an effort to give you guys a segment on one of my shows dedicated to the listeners. Give me your questions. Give me your thoughts. What are your perspectives on things? If you want to tweet me, do so. You can DM me or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Just put in podcast question, podcast comment. Label it however you want, but I'll be reading these on the air. And I'd like to give you guys an opportunity and a voice for coming on and in spirit anyway, and being able to answer your questions on air. So tweet me or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break and give some love to the sponsors of the show as they help keep the lights on here. And then we're going to be right back with some audio. I've got some audio all ready to go. I just have to hit play on the promo to this match. I'll give you guys a little bit of a background, and then we're going to jump right into the match. So stay right here. We're going to give a little love to the sponsors and be right back.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
So have you always thought about making your own podcast and maybe monetizing it? Well, guys, you know I started this thing 5 years ago under a different name, and it takes a while to get listeners and downloads, and it's not an easy task. So rather than scratching and clawing and doing it the hard way that I did it, why don't you guys check out a way that you can be a mile ahead of the competition? It's at enrichmentradio.com, right? So it seems like almost overnight, podcasting has become the internet's next big thing. And guess what? You guys can get in on the ground floor right now. I mean, podcasting is exploding. It's the wave of the future. So there's no better time to start than right now. The podcast platform is growing exponentially, and it's doubling every year with the number of podcasts downloaded from iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts now, iHeartRadio, and of course, many others. Everything's skyrocketing right now. And each time your podcast is downloaded, it's like money in the bank. That's because advertisers who are eager to reach their niche audiences pay top dollar, just like radio, to have their ad spots heard. There's no selling on your part. And guys, trust me, that's an awesome thing. I don't feel comfortable when I'm trying to sell something that I don't believe in. So that's important to me. So there's no selling here. Digital ad agencies do this all the time. They make sales on your podcast. And guess what? You reap the benefits. Everyone has something to say, a viewpoint, a stance on a topic, and podcasting can easily turn that passion that you have into a sizable monthly income. And mine was wrestling. Maybe yours is wrestling. Maybe yours is another sport. Maybe it's politics. Whatever it may be, you can turn your passion and monetize it. To learn how to start your own podcast and start seeing downloads literally blow up, visit enrichmentradio.com. That's enrichmentradio.com. And my friends at Enrichment will provide you with a free starter kit that explains everything. They can also help you produce or post-produce your content, and best of all, get you immediate real-time downloads for your podcast. Again, that website is enrichmentradio.com. Guys, I'm telling you, they have a proven track record. They will help you get a mile ahead, and you won't be scratching and clawing for downloads. All you have to do is talk about your passion, get these guys involved, let them be your partner, and you can monetize your voice. So check out enrichmentradio.com. This episode is brought to you by the Can of Spam podcast. Sometimes you just need to turn your brain off and indulge in some pure entertainment. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Everyone loves a good poop story or dad joke. Give in to your inhibitions and tune in to the Can of Spam podcast with Nick and Kavika. Much like a talk show, they're often joined by a guest and play through hilarious segments like which superpower is best, lightsaber toenails, or tiny booger grenades. Sometimes they examine age-old questions like, do fish have ears? It's your weekly slice of nincompoopery and baboonish insight, taking all those thoughts you never want anyone to know you have and cramming them into a tin can. Like the moment you finally break down and pull into McDonald's drive-thru, you tell yourself you shouldn't, but everyone knows that's the food of angels. In Hawaii, where they reign, Spam is their McDonald's. In fact, Hawaii, you can get Spam at McDonald's. Spamception. Find them right now and subscribe in the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio. You'll also want to follow them on Twitter at CanOfSpamPod to participate in polls and get your fill of moronic tweets that will make you giggle deep down when everyone else is telling you to grow up. So check them out. It's the Can of Spam podcast, and also follow them on Twitter at Can of Spam Pod.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, guys, let's jump back into it. So how did this match come about? Right? How did this whole thing happen? Well, if you remember, Stone Cold just came back from his taking the ball and going home and having his 8-month hiatus and the walkout and the whole issue with Brock Lesnar, and WWE and Vince wanted him to do business with Brock with no build. And that whole thing happened in Atlanta, Georgia, where Austin booked his flight. We all know the story. So after Austin comes back, beats the holy hell out of Bischoff at No Way Out in the Bell Center in Montreal, we get The Rock coming out and shortly after and saying, The Rock's done it all in this business. He's done it all except whoop that bald candy ass at WrestleMania. And The Rock and Austin, part three, was born. And I remember the promos going into this of saying, The Rock saying, oh, no one remembers act one and act two. The only thing everyone remembers is the finale, act three. And Austin, with The Rock 1 foot in Hollywood and 1 foot in WWE, easily was the villain here because the fans felt betrayed by The Rock, and having him come back to a largely negative reception was a shoo-in for The Rock being heel and Austin being the babyface, which to me is always the best matchup anyway. And so Austin, who came back again, he had a match with Bischoff, comes out and we get part three. We get Austin, we get Rock. And let's just listen to the promo
And I know you guys can't see it. I would highly recommend that you YouTube it. But let's just take a listen, and hopefully you can visualize what's happening here.
You went one-on-one with the great one. I whipped your ass not once, but twice. The one thing that The Rock has not done is whoop that ball candy ass at WrestleMania.
Soul of a Rock. He has never beaten Stone Cold at a WrestleMania.
So that was the promo. I know you didn't obviously get to see it, but gotta love the good old early 2000s rock music. I think that might have been Limp Bizkit again. But while the build wasn't as good to this one, and it didn't feel as organic, and they weren't on the trajectory that they had been at WrestleMania 17, it's Rock Austin. So even if it's a forced match, and there's not a whole lot of backstory to it other than which you heard there of The Rock just being, as Jim Ross eloquently put it, a cancer in The Rock's soul that he has never beaten Stone Cold Steve Austin at a WrestleMania. That was really the premise for this whole match. That was really the catalyst. That's really the foundation that this whole third rivalry and third program with these two lived on. And was built upon was the premise that The Rock had not beaten Stone Cold Steve Austin at a WrestleMania. So, good enough for me. Again, the storyline wasn't blow away. But does it really need to be with Rock Austin, right? It certainly doesn't hurt. But with The Rock and Austin together, they're so damn good that a storyline needing to be good is almost irrelevant, which is insane, right? But certainly 17, if you're looking from a storyline perspective of having these two meet, have it make sense and have their careers on parallel paths. And it just felt bigger at 17. 19 certainly felt big in the perspective of they haven't met at WrestleMania in 2 years. And you have the two biggest stars in professional wrestling history going one-on-one. I mean, what more do you need? You don't need a genius storyline to bring these two together, which is insane that you don't need to bring together a key element of what makes pro wrestling work with these two, because that's how big of a stars they are, and the history that they have kind of speaks for itself and builds its own story. So the foundation again of this whole thing was very one-dimensional, of The Rock needing to beat Austin and Austin just needing to clean sweep The Rock 3-0 at WrestleMania. I mean, that's ultimately what this whole thing was built on. So it's crazy, right? When I say that and saying that out loud, I don't know if I've ever said that out loud before, as far as just what this match was really built on. I'm all about stories. I'm big on stories, just like most of us are. If you watch pro wrestling, you are big on stories because you love stories being told in the right way. So, in this case, didn't need to be. Okay, I think I've harped on that enough. So we get to WrestleMania 19, and again, the night before, Austin had severe health issues where he was hospitalized. He apparently had been drinking too much coffee, a combination of coffee, lack of sleep, stress, and energy drinks, put Stone Cold in the hospital with his heart pumping out of his chest, thinking he was having a heart attack and he was going to die in Seattle. They calmed his heart down. They flushed the energy drinks and coffee and caffeine out of his system. They got his heart rate down to normal and rehydrated him the best they could prior to the match at WrestleMania the following night. So pretty close to this match never happening. It's just crazy to think about this match never happening. So that is something that was later discovered. And of course, Austin still hung around Monday Night Raw, being in various iterations of a general manager, and he was a co-general manager, and then he was eventually the sheriff, and it was entertaining, and I loved having Austin still there on a weekly basis, even if he was just there in an authority role, and to just basically stun people, which honestly, does it ever get old, right? Never, never, never does it ever get old with Stone Cold just laying somebody out with a Stone Cold Stunner. It's just science. Okay, let's get to the match. Let's just take a quick listen. I'm not going to go through, 10 minutes of introductions, but I do want you to just kind of feel the match out. I want to just lay the groundwork and get you guys in with me here as if you're watching this with me, and I'll just kind of play some clips, and we'll go along, and I'll give you guys my thoughts in real time and what I thought back in 2003, which, my God, I was, how old was I? 18? I had just graduated high school. Or no, I'm sorry. I was going to be graduating high school in just a few months. And a senior in high school when this match took place. And so I'll give you more thoughts on that later as far as reactions and people I was with. And anyway, you guys don't care about my personal life, but I'm probably going to share it anyway. All right, here we go. And so there we go with The Rock's entrance. And it was a little bit long there, but I wanted you guys to remember that insanely long introduction to his music when he went heel and he was Hollywood Rock, basically. He went Hollywood Rock as Hogan went Hollywood Hogan in some way. And so that is, I remember that entrance music very well. And when you look at The Rock's body, he leaned out here, and from what we understand now, when he first got into Hollywood, many people told him, you're not gonna be able to keep that muscular physique. You're going to have to, you're going to have to slim down if you're going to make it here in Hollywood. And I think he took that to heart, and, he wasn't in crazy shape. He's in better shape now than he was back in 2003, which was 17 years ago, which is just crazy. I mean, we go from WrestleMania 19, we're WrestleMania 36 this year. God, time flies. So that was The Rock's entrance, and well, here comes the greatest of all time.
National championship football. Their boots any more intense, any more with a will to win. That's Stone
back, all right? He is one tough SOB. The pride of Edson, Texas. Raised a country boy down in Texas. Grew up wanting to be here, wanting to do this. This is his life. This is his destiny. But the same can be said for Austin's adversary, The Rock. Make a good point that who is the greatest WWE champion of all time? A lot of argument, a lot of discussion can be had in that respect, but it could very well be one of these two men in the ring. Only time will tell.
So that would be the entrances from these two. And the other thing I'd like to note, and obviously you guys are listening and you're not seeing this, but if you look at Austin's vest, and he has the letters embroidered on there, OMR, of course, we would later learn that that meant one more run. And he had that made right before this match because he knew this was his final match. Jim Ross knew it was his final match, and he also came out and said later that the issue or the tough part was that he couldn't say anything because Austin didn't want it known that this was his final match. Look, from a business perspective, you would want this publicized, right? If you're Vince McMahon, wouldn't you want to let your audience know that your biggest star in the history of the company is retiring in order to just maximize the eyeballs on your product for that short period of time? I mean, so I don't know the intricacies of it. Obviously, it's a different ball game today, 17 years later, in terms of them with their huge global expansion, the WWE Network, all that. But that's why I've always been a proponent of Undertaker announcing when he's going to retire in order to squeeze the last bit of juice out of his run and really WWE to maximize what they have left of Undertaker, because if you promote it as his last match, you're going to get more of a buzz, especially in today's world of social media. It's going to catch fire instantly that this is officially Undertaker's last match. And I'm not speculating as to when that is. I've kind of given up on when Undertaker's going to retire. Maybe he's never going to retire. I don't know. But this was Austin's last match. I didn't know it. Maybe you guys did. I didn't. And I remember sitting there as an 18-year-old kid with my wrestling friends that I had in high school, which, again, it was weird. I had friends that I was really close with that didn't like wrestling. And then I had my wrestling friends that when I did watch wrestling, that's what we did. Right. So I guess it was a little bit more shallow because I only hung out with them when we did wrestling, and we actually had our own, wrestling federation, if you will. I mean, it's just we loved wrestling so much that we had our own little thing and we'd make videos, and maybe I'll tell you guys how to access those videos someday. But I don't know if I have the guts to do it. It's just crazy now to think about. We did that. Fun as hell. You know, and I don't regret a thing. I mean, I think that was some of the best times of my life. Were those times where, my God, I was 18, 19, all the way up to 20 years old, just, jerking around and had a part-time job and doing this wrestling thing on the side and making videos and editing videos and hanging out with my girlfriend, drinking on the weekend. I mean, basically, my job was for entertainment, right? I didn't have a whole lot of expenses to pay for when I was in my late teens and early 20s until obviously I went off to college, but that's another story for another day. So anyway, back to this match. I remember sitting there and I was the only Stone Cold fan out of it was like four of us there, and they all wanted The Rock to win. And I still wanted Austin to do a clean sweep. I still was on the side of Stone Cold here. And let's listen as the match goes on, and we have the best commentary team in the history of pro wrestling calling it.
The bodies of both these men. A hard right hand by Austin. Another right hand. Austin connects with a right. That's three in a row for the Rattlesnake.
Running out.
No reverse. Oh, and the Luthez press.
Oh, no.
God bless Luthez. And the right hand's by Austin.
Oh, they're being blocked.
The Rock's trying to cover up.
Block him.
Piston lock right hands by the Texas Rattlesnake.
Get in there, referee. Do your job. Disqualify him.
Stone Cold has beaten the hell out of Rock with one hand. Oh, hell yeah. The elbow. The elbow. The hook of the leg. That's Charles.
So Austin hits his Luthez press, and you know, looking back, you can hear it in Jim Ross's voice that he knew it was Austin's last match. I mean, listen to the introduction he gave him, right? Giving it basically a history of Austin and how he grew up and wanted to do this. And the way he's calling this match with such intensity and focus, even more than normal. Certainly now with hindsight, we can all hear it. But let's continue on to a little bit more of this match.
Said he was a role model.
Yeah, you'd probably like to have Austin as the president. If he was, the national bird would be the finger. Oh, look at this. Oh, no, here we go.
Oh, great move by The Rock. The clothesline, the nip up. Austin is down.
Here you go.
And if I were The Rock, I wouldn't waste any time here on this Texas rattlesnake.
Oh, no.
Oh, The Rock. The Rock bottom.
You can't do that to The Rock.
Austin just used The Rock bottom on The Rock himself.
So we get them using their own finishers on one another, and the pacing of this match was still great. I mean, yeah, it wasn't as good as 17, but they certainly still had the psychology here. Austin and The Rock, I mean, what more can you say? I mean, like, these two just were meant to be together in the ring, and clearly and easily Austin's best opponent outside of Vince McMahon anyway. While Vince wasn't the most athletically gifted, I think that their dynamic still drew a little more money than The Rock Austin, but in terms of match quality, The Rock and Austin is just, I mean, you're talking top of the top. So let's continue on. I know you guys want to get more audio. I do too. So let's keep going.
That intensity.
That's just like snake eyes.
Inside that body beats the heart of an animal. A wrestling animal.
Watch it, Rocky, right behind you.
And the great one, the great third generation
take it off,
star.
Bro. Take it off.
Is up.
Oh, look at The Rock. There you go.
Austin over, looking for our cover, and look at this arrogant cover.
So Austin gets his own stunner delivered to him, and of course, one other thing on this too is you have Earl Hebner, the best referee in the history of wrestling, with the best count in the history of wrestling, also officiating this. So man, you had an all-star team from the announcers to the referee, and obviously the performers in the ring. So this was just something all the way around that was friggin' brilliant. So well, let's start to close in on the end of this match. And as I was watching it earlier, it's striking. It's striking the difference in pacing of this match to today's pacing of a normal match. Many people, if you took this match and obviously you took Austin and Rock out of it and just plugged wrestler A and wrestler B, you would say, oh my God, this match is dragging. You know, where are the spots? And it doesn't need spots. It needs emotion. It needs feeling. It needs pacing. It needs story. It needs chemistry. That's what wrestling is. Not spots, which is unfortunate. You guys, I've said this, but it's just, this is another example of how wrestling can be awesome and how it was awesome and how the formula still works without having spots have to be the focus of the match to call it awesome. So let's continue, guys. As I said, we're closing in towards the end of this match, but let's get back to it.
On his back, but Austin's down as well. The cover, he
kicked out of Stone Cold Stunner. Yeah, what are you going to do now, Austin? What do you got left in your repertoire?
This is an amazing, amazing matchup.
He's confused now. He's thinking, oh, what can I do? If the stunner didn't work, what can I do now?
Austin back on his...
So there we got The Rock selling the stunner like he's been shot. From this point, The Rock then gives Austin a low blow. And then we get into the ending sequence of this match with The Rock delivering the people's elbow, all while wearing Austin's vest. I mean, The Rock wore this Austin's vest for the vast majority of this match up until he delivered the people's elbow. And obviously Austin kicks out of the people's elbow. And then, we get to the ending of this match, which made me very sad, but take a listen. So he hit the rock bottom. Austin kicked out, kind of as expected. And then from here, well, let's take a listen. So I remember this moment very well. I mean, and you got to remember too, not just the pacing of a match that was different. Finishers also meant something back then. While they were starting to phase out of actually being finishers and through the years they've been watered down, this was still an era in which finishers did exactly that. They finished a match. And when you have stunners and rock bottoms that were money finishers that ended more matches than we can count, having them kicked out of was a big deal. And then having them kicked out of twice, unheard of. And these are the kinds of things that are reserved and should be reserved for WrestleMania only. And unfortunately, in today's age, we see it far too often that finishers are kicked out of, not just on a weekly basis, but multiple finishers are kicked out of on a weekly basis. So you're just conditioned to believe that finishers don't do what they say that they're supposed to do by name, finish a match. So when Austin kicked out of the second rock bottom here, I remember going, oh my God, Austin's going to win it, right? Because Rock hit a people's elbow, kick out. He also hit a stunner on Austin, kick out. He hit one rock bottom, kick out. Two rock bottoms, kick out. And at this point, you're thinking, okay, Austin's going to mount some kind of offense here, and he's going to hit a stunner, and he's going to win the match. And, I think that The Rock, well, had other things in mind, and let's take a listen.
Look at The Rock. He's like the Scorpion King. He's coiled. He's coiled to strike.
Austin trying to pull himself up with every fiber in his being. With his heart racing, with his guts in knots.
You better stay
Austin
down on...
trying to get up.
Stay down on the mat, Austin. You'll have a shorter distance to fall after you get this rock bottom.
Austin's up somehow, some way. And The Rock, is he going to do it? Not the third time.
The third time's a charm. Big one!
Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. You are looking, ladies and gentlemen, at perhaps two of the greatest. When it's all said and done, that this business will have ever offered you. They gave you everything they had here tonight, but it was three rock bottoms. 34,000 plus, and our fans around the world have seen The Rock beat Austin for the first time at WrestleMania. Unbelievable, but seeing it, believing it, we all saw it. We saw The Rock do what you thought it couldn't be done, JR.
So there we go. The Rock finally beats Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. And we all know, too. Well, again, I shouldn't say we all know because maybe you don't, right? When The Rock hit the third rock bottom and we see in here 1, 2, 3, The Rock sat up and talked to Austin. And I guess that part of the conversation was, you know, telling Austin that, you know, you don't know how much this means to me. This is, you know, thank you so much. And basically showing his respects to not just being the guy to not just saying thank you for doing the favors at WrestleMania, but also knowing that this is Austin's last match, allowing The Rock to be the guy to do that. And it's very old school to, if you're leaving a territory or retiring, to lose on your way out. That's very customary, and it's the way it should be. Because you're giving back to the business for the guys that are still going to be there. You want to put over the guys that are still there. Why would you want to put yourself over on the way out and bury the guys that are still there after you leave? It just makes sense from a respect and a common sense standpoint. So having The Rock here sit up and deliver his message to Stone Cold was heartfelt, and you could see something going on as The Rock immediately sat up and started just chatting away with Austin for maybe about a minute or so, pushing Earl Hebner out of the way and just delivering what he, you know, the things he wanted to say to Stone Cold as he laid on his back looking up at the lights after he was defeated by The Rock 1, 2, 3. And I'm still an Austin fan. I'm still pulling for Austin in that match. I still would have loved to see him go 3-0, but I understand why he didn't. It was Austin's final match. You give back, and it was something that maybe The Rock did need to finally beat Stone Cold at WrestleMania. So a good match, a nice, easy-to-follow match. That's what's great. I didn't have to, you know, be told how to make the watch, just tell me what time it is type thing. It was a very nicely paced match. Again, was it as good as 17? No, it was not. And I don't expect it to be. Just as we didn't expect the WrestleMania 26 follow-up to Undertaker HBK to be as good as it was at 25. 26 was not as nearly as good as 26 was not nearly as good as 25 was. It's hard to recreate the magic. It's damn near impossible because magic shows up when it wants to show up. It doesn't show up when you tell it to show up. So when you have two stars like this, it's always magical, but that extra oomph doesn't always happen, even in the best scenarios. So again, if you haven't seen this match, I mean, what are you doing? Number one. Number two, I would really educate yourself on, or really, if you're going to start at the beginning of the rivalry, start at 15. Work to 17, then work to 19. And if you want to listen to my shows and my thoughts on that, you can also just look at my past wrestling nostalgia shows. All of those past three now are covering Rock Austin. So let me know what you guys think. Do you enjoy 19? Do you remember that match in Seattle, Washington? I know I did. Boy, now I remember it. And I specifically remember when The Rock went to hit his second rock bottom, and Austin elbowed him and spun right back into a second rock bottom. That's when I said, oh, crap, because it would have been shades of 15 had Austin, you know, started elbowing The Rock in the head. The Rock gets stunned, turns around, and then Austin hits the Stone Cold Stunner for the win. I mean, that's where I thought they were headed. Instead, though, Austin spun himself around into a rock bottom. And I said, oh, boy, right? It was a great finish. Three rock bottoms are certainly worthy of that's how much it would take to beat Austin at WrestleMania. And on top of a grueling match and a stunner delivered to him and a people's elbow delivered to him, when you look at all those stacked up, it certainly made sense for that's how much it would take to beat Austin at WrestleMania. And I would like things to go back to that in terms of respecting finishers. Finishers are not respected today. They're not. And we've been conditioned not to respect them because it's a lazy way to get people to pop. is kicking out of finishers. I think it would benefit pro wrestling in general to go back to respecting finishers as finishers. And on occasion, on big moments, in big moments, you have an opponent kick out of a finisher because it can add so much drama and excitement to a match. But when it's expected, doesn't have the same effect, not even close. So, well, guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's show. I mean, I love going back in time. In this case, it was 17 effing years ago. What were you doing 17 years ago? Were you even alive? Were you in high school? Were you in college? Were you in elementary school, middle school? What were you doing? I'm interested to hear where you were, what you were doing when this match took place. Maybe you watched it live. You know, who knows? I did. I remember watching it live, chipping in, you know, my $20 to the $70 tag that WrestleMania had at the time. And we went over there and threw in some money for the pay-per-view and watched it as The Rock beat Stone Cold to my dismay. And again, I can't say enough about this rivalry. It's been a pleasure to cover it. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. It's always a blast to go back in time and to look at the vault of wrestling, of, quote, wrestling's golden age, back in the Attitude Era. And it's always good. And if you guys have suggestions for me, by the way, of what you'd like me to talk about in my wrestling nostalgia segments, you can also email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, of course, or just tweet at me at the WWE Podcast. I'm open to suggestions for next week. I have some ideas. I don't know if they'll pan out, and I don't want to tell you what they are in case I don't deliver. So if you have something you really want me to cover in my wrestling nostalgia, please hit me up. And also general questions you want me to answer about today's product, about where a story could go, or just your comments on a storyline in WWE, more than welcome, because I'm going to start doing a segment just for you guys, answering questions and getting your comments on the air so that I can give you guys a voice and give you answers and my opinions if you are asking for them. So I think it's going to be a fun thing to do. So definitely email me or tweet at me. So, all right, well, guys, I think this is where we part ways until next time, but don't worry, have no fear. NXT, AEW coming at you the next 2 days with their review shows with Chris and with Zach. And then this weekend, I'll be joining a co-host probably Sunday for a wrestling week in review, WWE week in review, looking back at SmackDown, Raw, as we get closer to the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia. And I know some of you don't give a damn about the Saudi Arabia show or protest it or it's blood money or, I don't know, whatever it may be. And that's cool. I'm going to still be watching and I'm still going to be interested to see how that is used as a stepping stone to WrestleMania, because it's WrestleMania season now. We're not fooling around. I've come to terms with how awful and evil some of the people are in Saudi Arabia. Not everybody, of course, but some of the shady stuff some people have done. I am totally aware of that, but I'm here for WWE. I'm not here for the country of Saudi Arabia. You know, I respect the country in certain ways, but certainly they have not had a great history of, you know, treating women the way that they probably should be treated, and what they did to the journalist and all that kind of stuff doesn't really rub me the right way. So I'm here for WWE. I'm not here for anything else. So I'll be watching it. And if you guys want to protest it, cool. But you can head here as your headquarters for the Super Showdown preview, prediction, and review show. So definitely stay tuned here. Hit that like and subscribe. If you like this podcast, give it a 5-star rating and just write a quick review. I promise you guys don't even know how much that helps out the show. So with all that said, guys, don't forget, 3 more shows coming to you this week. AEW, NXT, and your weekend review all coming at you in the next few days. Until then, guys, talk to you next time. So have you always thought about making your own podcast and maybe monetizing it? Well, guys, you know I started this thing 5 years ago under a different name, and it takes a while to get listeners and downloads, and it's not an easy task. So rather than scratching and clawing and doing it the hard way that I did it, why don't you guys check out a way that you can be a mile ahead of the competition? It's at enrichmentradio.com, right? So it seems like almost overnight, podcasting has become the internet's next big thing. And guess what? You guys can get in on the ground floor right now. I mean, podcasting is exploding. It's the wave of the future. So there's no better time to start than right now. The podcast platform is growing exponentially, and it's doubling every year with the number of podcasts downloaded from iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts now, iHeartRadio, and of course, many others. Everything's skyrocketing right now, and each time your podcast is downloaded, it's like money in the bank. That's because advertisers who are eager to reach their niche audiences pay top dollar, just like radio, to have their ad spots heard. There's no selling on your part. And guys, trust me, that's an awesome thing. I don't feel comfortable when I'm trying to sell something that I don't believe in. So that's important to me. So there's no selling here. Digital ad agencies do this all the time. They make sales on your podcast. And guess what? You reap the benefits. Everyone has something to say, a viewpoint, a stance on a topic, and podcasting can easily turn that passion that you have into a sizable monthly income. And mine was wrestling. Maybe yours is wrestling. Maybe yours is another sport. Maybe it's politics. Whatever it may be, you can turn your passion and monetize it. To learn how to start your own podcast and start seeing downloads literally blow up, visit enrichmentradio.com. That's enrichmentradio.com. And my friends at Enrichment will provide you with a free starter kit that explains everything. They can also help you produce or post-produce your content, and best of all, get you immediate real-time downloads for your podcast. Again, that website is enrichmentradio.com. Guys, I'm telling you, they have a proven track record. They will help you get a mile ahead, and you won't be scratching and clawing for downloads. All you have to do is talk about your passion, get these guys involved, let them be your partner, and you can monetize your voice. So check out enrichmentradio.com. This episode is brought to you by the Can of Spam podcast. Sometimes you just need to turn your brain off and indulge in some pure entertainment. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Everyone loves a good poop story or dad joke. Give in to your inhibitions and tune in to the Can of Spam podcast with Nick and Kavika. Much like a talk show, they're often joined by a guest and play through hilarious segments like which superpower is best, lightsaber toenails, or tiny booger grenades. Sometimes they examine age-old questions like do fish have ears? It's your weekly slice of nincompoopery and baboonish insight, taking all of those thoughts you never want anyone to know you have and cramming them into a tin can. Like the moment you finally break down and pull into McDonald's drive-thru, you tell yourself you shouldn't, but everyone knows that's the food of angels. In Hawaii, where they reign, Spam is their McDonald's. In fact, Hawaii, you can get Spam at McDonald's. Spamception. Find them right now and subscribe in the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio. You'll also want to follow them on Twitter at CanOfSpamPod to participate in polls and get your fill of moronic tweets that will make you giggle deep down when everyone else is telling you to grow up. So check them out. It's the Can of Spam podcast, and also follow them on Twitter at CanOfSpamPod.